Man, isn't worship great? Oh gosh, I just sense the Lord's presence and His peace. I just really appreciate that. And you know, I know a lot of us are from backgrounds where it's more like a song service, and there's nothing wrong with a song service, but to the extent I think that we can just kind of put aside the distractions and just focus on the Lord and sense His presence, there's just something rebuilding about that as we go through our busy week and our stressful lives. Just so wonderful. So I hope that you're able to enter in. Today, let's pray. Say, let's pray. Father, I pray you would help me to communicate everything that you've showed me. And I pray that this wouldn't just be a time of learning, Lord, but it would be a time of impartation, where as we speak about ways to hear your voice, that you would actually begin to speak to us more and make us more aware when you are speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So,
Mr. High Tech here.
Okay, so today, you know, so I saw a video this week. It's called, I can't remember, but one of the things they spoke about was the Christians in India, thousands that are just getting basically slaughtered for no reason, and there's not a whole lot they can do about it. The police don't really do anything about it. And it just made me think how thankful I am to live in the United States once again. What a privilege it is. You know, we have problems in this country. There's no question about it. I mean, and I do worry about things like, how are my grandkids ever going to pay off the debt we're amassing? I mean, we have issues. There's no doubt about it. But isn't it wonderful that we can come together like this and don't have people with guns coming in and shooting us for coming into church and worshiping, or for being able to share our faith, or being able to walk in freedom? I mean, I'm just so very, very thankful. So it just reminded me to really remember to appreciate all that we have here, because we have so much. And today I'm going to teach about hearing God's voice. And I've taught about this before. How many of you were here when we talked about the 5 stoplights on the way to Home Depot? It's been a while. Yeah, a couple people remember. Excuse me. Well, what that's all about is, you know, there's a lot of voices out there. That's the reality. There's the Lord's voice, there's our own voice, and sometimes there's even, you know, voices from the enemy trying to influence us, and those can all be voices in our heads. And the trick of hearing God's voice is just don't do everything that a voice tells you to do, okay? That's not a healthy, safe way to do it, because, and how many of you have known people who, they just seemed a little off base, and they're hearing God all the time for everything, and some of the things they do is a little wacky. We need to be able to discern the Lord's voice and be able to identify that the voice we hear is the Lord. And I'm going to teach about that probably again, maybe in a week or two. I haven't quite decided yet. But for now, what I want to talk about is the Lord does desire to speak to us. He desires to say things like, I love you. Just very simple things. And also, the Lord has plans for your life, and He wants you to be in on them. And a lot of times, you'll be in on them just by happening into the Lord's leading your path. But other times, He's going to specifically guide you and speak to you. And I want to talk to you about how to hear from the Lord without being a wacky person who, I hear from God all the time. Okay? Because there's kind of a middle ground where, as Christians, we receive the promise of hearing the Lord's voice and guidance, and yet we're not crazy. Okay? You know, if you go out among your friends who don't know Jesus and you say, God talks to me and I hear it, okay, you know what? They're going to look at you a little strange. But the word Jesus specifically promised that we will hear and recognize His voice. And so let's start there. Totally off my notes there, I'm sorry. Quite a few of us pray on a regular basis. And if you don't pray on a regular basis, I'm not saying every 10 minutes, and I'm not even necessarily saying every day, but a good discipline is following Jesus. And one of the privileges we have is to lift our needs, our family needs, our friends' needs, our church family needs, our city's needs, our nation's needs, before the Lord. And, you know, there's something a little mysterious about how does prayer work. And if I go there right now, we'll never get through the sermon, but in Revelation, the Lord describes to John, John sees in the heavenly realm, in the book of Revelation in the Bible, and he says that there's incense, bowls of incense that are filled with the prayers of the saints. And so I think that the Lord, there are things that the Lord will do whether we pray or not, and there's things that the Lord is going to wait until the prayers fill that incense bowl enough, and then he'll act. How that exactly works, you know, again, we live in a three-dimensional world, maybe a fourth dimension, fourth dimensional if you count time. And when we go in the eighth dimension of heaven and we're looking down here, it's all going to make sense. So we don't necessarily have a clear understanding of how prayer works, but we know the Lord says to do it and that the Lord does respond to it. And so it's a privilege as someone who knows him to go ahead and lift those prayers up. So thankfully, to be a healthy Christian, to be a healthy follower of Jesus, we want to pray. Check? Right? Okay. Now, there's another aspect to prayer, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, which is actually a two-way conversation. And I don't know about you, and I've been following Jesus for 32 years, and I still feel a little awkward about that. Now, I know people are just real comfortable with this, and if you already are on top of this, praise God, because it's so wonderful to hear the Lord's voice. But the first thing that I think is important is that we realize that prayer was designed to be a two-way conversation. Okay? So, when Jesus died, Jesus was crucified on the cross, and at that time, the veil between the main part of the temple and the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go, and only once a year, was actually ripped top to bottom, symbolically showing, like supernaturally ripped. Nobody did that. It's just, they say the veil was torn in two, which the Lord is saying that people who follow him actually have access to the Holy of Holies of the Lord, where we can go in, where we can come before him, where we can know him, and where at the same time we can hear him. And so as part of a two-way conversation, we have the privilege to hear the Lord speaking to us. Did you know there's sermon notes, by the way? Sermon notes in your bulletin today. And as we get more comfortable with the Lord speaking to us, we just realize this is a great blessing of being a part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus made some very specific promises to his followers about hearing his voice. And so first today, I want to look at John chapter 10. Now, I printed the exact verses I'm going to use in your sermon notes. I know some of us are more familiar with the Bible than others. If you want to pull out one of those Bibles in the pew, or if you brought one along, you're welcome to just flip to that. But for the sake of me making good use of this time, I just put them in the notes once again this week. If you want to follow along, I'm going to read them out loud today. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Then skipping ahead, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This is Jesus speaking to his followers. And so he's speaking he's like using an analogy, using a parable, saying that he is like a shepherd, and his followers are like sheep. And as he says in verse 3, the sheep, us, will listen to his voice. And what a privilege it is that we can listen to him, and he'll actually speak to us. And in verse 4, he says, we can follow him because we recognize his voice. And again, another gift he gives us. And that's our point number one for today. It's not a quiz. You don't have to fill in the blanks, but some people like to do that to follow along. We can hear and recognize his voice. Now, sometimes this doesn't line up with our day-to-day experiences. Okay? Like, I'm not conscious of that. You may be saying, especially someone who's just beginning to follow Jesus, I really don't hear and recognize his voice. But let me tell you this. If the Bible promises something, if Jesus says something is true, we can rest our hope on the promises of Jesus. And so if it says that you can learn to hear and recognize his voice, it's more a matter of asking the Lord now, Lord, help me to hear and recognize your voice. And just believe it, because everything Jesus promises is true. Everything. If you haven't found that yet, maybe it hasn't been the timing yet. Or maybe you need to begin to seek in that direction. Maybe, if we're not hearing from him, if we're following Jesus, if we're redeemed, if we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus and forgiven, and we've made him our Savior and Lord, and yet we don't have any real awareness of him speaking to us, well, we need to work on our listeners, because he says he's talking, and we can trust him in that. And you know, our lives are very, very busy. That's the reality here in the United States. It's like, even when we're not doing anything, we're doing something. Even when we have free time, we're watching the baseball game, okay? How many people saw the baseball game last night? That was like the worst baseball game I've ever seen. If you don't know, it was like the crucial game for the Tigers. They had to win it to go on to the World Series, and they got obliterated. I mean, like 15-5 by the time it was all over. So it was very, very sad. Anyway, so we get very busy. It may be one thing or another, but the reality is it's very rare that we just have really quiet times. And now I'm not saying that the Lord in his grace won't just bust in on our busyness and speak to us anyway, because he will. How many of you know that when you weren't even looking for a word from the Lord, when you weren't even looking to hear from him, there he is speaking to you right in the middle of whatever you were doing, and praise God for that. But Psalm 46 in our notes, Psalm 46 says, 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And that's our point number two today. Be still and listen. It's often when we're still, when we're quieting our busyness, that we can more easily tune our spiritual ears to the voice of God. And for example, the Lord spoke to Elijah in a still small voice, or as our translation, the NIV translation that we use here most of the time, says, in a gentle whisper. And so let's look at that passage together. This is in 1 Kings in the Old Testament, when the Lord was dealing with Elijah, one of his prophets. And the whole story is fascinating if you haven't read it. It's really, really interesting. So if you don't know where you want to read in the Bible someday this week, go ahead and take these notes home. And this is a great set of chapters. Anyway, 1 Kings 19. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And we can see as the story goes on that it was definitely the Lord speaking to him. And the Lord was speaking not in the tornado and not in the explosions, but in the gentle, quiet place. And so we can see examples. This is just one example where the Lord shows us that to be in a quiet time when we're listening, we're more likely to hear that gentle voice of the Lord. So what does that look like? Well, it might mean taking the time after your prayer time to just say, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? And then just be quiet and listen. Just listen. Okay, this might be awkward. I just kind of thought of this on the way over. We're going to do that for 30 seconds, okay? We're going to shut our eyes and we're going to say to ourselves or to the Lord, he hears our thoughts. That's a little scary too sometimes. We're going to say, Lord, would you just speak something to me? And I don't want you to get weird about it if you hear or don't hear. Not everything we hear is the Lord, but it's just like, let's just have a 30-second practice. Ready? Lord, would you just speak to us? Speak to us, Lord. Doesn't that feel like an awkward silence? I don't know about you. It feels awkward to me, but as soon as I said that and shut my eyes, here's what I sensed the Lord say to me. Okay? Here's what I heard very quietly in my mind, I should say. I felt I heard something, and I think it was probably the Lord because it lines up with what I think is true. He said, "You're on the right track." Okay? Nothing complicated, but what a nice confirmation from the Lord. Do I know exactly what he's talking about? No. Was it encouraging? Yes. Does it line up with the word of the Bible? Yeah, I think that would be something that would be line up with either the specific words or the principles in the Bible. Does it contradict something I already know? No. So there's a lot of ways we can test those voices, test what we hear. But for the most part, I tell you, here's what the Lord whispers to me most of the time. I just love you. Just keep doing what you're doing. I just love you. We'll get all that stuff worked out. Would you just spend a little time with me? A lot of times when I'll do that, I'll just bring a pencil along and I'll write things down. And if I hear anything weird, I'll write it down too. And it's okay. And I may show it to somebody. I might show it to Kathleen. I might show it to my pastor or to your husband or wife or to somebody you trust. Just say, here's what I sense the Lord saying. Does that seem like it was the Lord? Just get some confirmation. If the voice says to you, and you're a woman, my daughter, I love you, you can be pretty confident that that's the Lord. If the voice says to you, I just want to be with you so much that I want you to go kill yourself and come be with me, that's not the Lord. Okay? There's extremes here. I know we're going a little shaky territory, but I want you to know that the Lord will never tell you anything wacky, crazy, harmful, hurtful, or that would go against the teachings or the principles of the Bible. So if you do hear that, does that mean, oh my gosh, Satan just spoke to me? What it means is there's voices out there and there's our imagination, and just don't act on anything that's pretty obviously or even questionably not right. It's worth it, okay? We kind of put ourselves out in a vulnerable place, but it's not vulnerable to each other. It's vulnerable to the Lord. And we just say, Lord, I value you so much that I'm willing to sort through whatever I hear to get the morsels from you. Is that okay? Everybody following me a little bit? Okay. There's more to it. Let's see. Like we read in John chapter 10, though, if you're following him, you will learn to hear and recognize his voice. Your ear will get more and more tuned. It's really so worth it. Now, there's a few other ways that we can hear the Lord's voice, and they're a little more unusual, and I want to go over those a little bit today. The first one is our point number 3, which is sometimes we hear God through our own voice. Now that sounds a little weird, and I want to explain what I'm talking about. We'll look at John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. This whole chapter is interesting, by the way. If you haven't read John 4, it's where Jesus is talking to the Samaritans. He's kind of giving a whole new way to think about the Lord and God and what's important in life. And that's one of the places where he specifically proclaims, I am, not me, but the Lord Jesus says, I am the Messiah. But the point here is quite often our communication with God is spirit to spirit. So it's true that God will speak audibly to us. And what I mean by that is, you know, I can't say I've ever heard an audible voice, but sometimes you'll just hear something, you're praying, you're listening, and you'll hear, and you're like, I know that was God. That was God speaking to me. Like, I've used this example before, but it's maybe the most recent, when we had to decide, do we really want to buy this building? And I was in worship at our church in Kalamazoo, and it was like we made an offer, they accepted it, we had 10 days to have inspections, and they told us, if you find anything you don't like, we're not going to fix it, and the deal's off. And it was the 10th day, it was that Sunday, and the next day I had to decide, so it was like the last minute, I could still get out of it right to the end of that day. And I'm in church, and I'm saying, Lord, would you just It'd be really nice. You know, I really feel like I'm following the principles. I'm doing what you showed me. I think we're on the right track, but would you mind just giving me a little confirmation? And I was worshiping. We were singing out loud, just like we were today. But in my mind, I was saying, Lord, I would really like to hear from you. And it's just like a flash of revelation came over me. I don't even remember any specific words, but it took like a fraction of a second where the Lord said, yes, this is exactly what I want you to do. You're on the right track. I want you to buy this building. I want you to go do what I've shown you to do here, and I'm going to take care of all the details. It was just like so overwhelming for me. It's such a blessing. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would do that on every little detail of our lives? Make things a lot easier. Most of the time, frankly, we know what the Lord is showing us, the right principles, and maybe he's given us some guidance, and we just walk in faith, trusting him that he's going to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But there's nothing wrong with asking for confirmation from the Lord. If he hadn't shown me anything, I felt like we were supposed to do this anyway. But it's really nice when things get difficult. And once in a while, even for Kathleen and I, things get a little difficult. It's nice to go back to there and say, even though this was a difficult week, we're in the right place because the Lord showed us specifically that we were supposed to do what we've done. Okay. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:24. A lot of times, God will speak spirit to spirit, okay? Our spirit, I don't think it's really like, it's not like we know that the Lord's speaking to us because the Lord's spirit speaks to our spirit. And then our spirit says to our conscious mind something like, I think I should do something. I think I should. But actually, it was the Lord speaking to your spirit and prompting you to think those thoughts. Okay? So, or he might say, I wonder if, and the wonder might be something that is just obviously something that the Lord might lead you to. I wonder if I should call Hugh and Kathleen and tell them that, yes, I do want to be a coffee host. Okay? You know, I don't know. I wonder if I should work in the soup kitchen because there's an opportunity there. I just wonder if, or I think maybe I should. And so we have to trust. We can hear his voice. We can hear his guidance. And he's not going to let us go way off track. There may be a time where he has to, you know, get us back on. We may not always walk perfectly, but as we walk in faith, trusting him, he will give us the guidance. He will give us the words that we need to know what we're supposed to do. I had a dumb example. It was the best I could come up to. It was about, I'll just tell you real quick, because maybe it's not that dumb for you, but this is a case where about a year ago, Kathleen and I, most of you know, we do web design to pay our bills, and I got a call from an online business owner in Arizona, and she said, I need help with my website. And we looked at her website, and she really desperately needed help with her website because it was like the ugliest website you've ever seen. And she's wondering why she's not selling anything. What she sold actually is waterproof dog beds, like vinyl dog beds, kind of a specialized product. And so, and Kathleen and I, after talking with her for a little while, we both felt like, I don't feel real comfortable with this. But we didn't have any other work to do, and it's always nice to have income. And so we went ahead and said, okay. And Kathleen made some beautiful designs for this lady. By the way, we made her pay half in advance, so that was good. Kathleen made some beautiful designs and emailed them off to this lady, and no matter what Kathleen sent her, she wasn't happy. And what it turned out was the lady who designed her old site was a really good friend of hers who kept reviewing the things that Kathleen did and said, oh, this isn't any good. And we already knew what kind of design she did because the site that she did was there. Anyway, so as we looked back, we thought, you know, I think that was a prompting of the Lord to say, don't build that. Don't enter into an agreement with this woman. And we did come out a few dollars ahead and never really heard from her again, and that was the end of that. But I think we could have spared ourselves a lot of emotional pain if we had just been a little more sensitive to the prompt of the Lord. It doesn't mean we were injured. We missed at that time. But there was an opportunity where we think the Lord was speaking into our spirit, where then it just kind of came to us in this feeling like, I don't think I should really be going there. And we did it anyway, and God is good, and it came out okay. Next, if you look with me at Psalm 37, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." As we love God and we find joy in him and he gives us the desires of our hearts, okay? Now, this verse has been interpreted to justify Christians that God will just give us whatever selfish, greedy stuff we might want, or even used to justify adultery, for example. Well, God wants to give me the desire of my heart, and I desire that person. Okay? Not how it works. Just so we're clear on that. Now, the good news is, the Lord loves to bless us. I mean, he loves to bless us. He loves to bless us beyond what we deserve. He loves to give to us an abundance. There's no question about that. And especially if we sow generously, we'll reap generously. But the same measure that we sow, that we give generously, we'll reap back. And one other thing that came to mind as I was thinking about that this week is I tend to be more blessed. The harder I work, the more blessed I am. Okay? That's just the reality. But the point number four today is a little bit different way of looking at that. Sometimes we hear God through our heart's desires. And I want to explain how that works a little bit. How are we doing here? Good. The Lord is so kind. As we delight in him, he puts his clean, pure, pleasing plans into our hearts. He makes his desires into your desires. So then when he gives you the desire of your heart, guess where those desires came from? Okay, it's from him. Whereas I took some of the points today from a sermon I found or teaching by a guy named Andrew Womack. Anybody ever heard of him? Okay, so somebody, I don't know much about him, but I thought what he said made sense. He says, God changes your want to. Okay, what do you want to do? Well, he'll put that want to in you. This is kind of what happened to me 5 years ago. Kathleen and I, really. You know, most of you know our story. We had a pretty comfortable life. We'd lived in Kalamazoo for 25 years. We'd been a part of this church we were in for about 4 years, and that church was sending us out around the state to do hands-on prayer seminars for people, and that was a lot of fun. We had decent careers and decent income, and then we had our own business that was growing, and kids were around us. We knew all the street names and how to get there. We had a new house that didn't need any maintenance except cleaning out the gutters once a year. I do still miss that. Okay. I had a motorcycle, and there were trails like all around my house. I didn't have to drive way to the other side of town to ride the trails on my motorcycle, which is, by the way, why I sold my motorcycle this year, because there's no trails around here. Anyway, love and life, honestly. We'd lived there 30 years, and we loved Kalamazoo. And then it just kind of changed, okay? And it's like I started getting bored. I was tired of riding on the same roads. I'd rode on all the trails near me. My church and what we were doing just didn't have that attraction to us anymore. And I was starting to be irritated by the noisy neighbors behind my house, you know, when they never did before. And it's kind of neat that it's like the Lord was starting to do something different in my heart. And when the idea came up of planting a church, it's like, instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to miss what I have so much, it was like, yeah, this is going to be exciting. Okay? And actually, almost 10 years ago, we had sat down with a pastor friend of ours in the Grand Rapids area who did a lot of church planning to pray with him and to ponder whether we wanted to plant churches. And we really felt at that time like, nope, too much going on. We have teenagers living at home. It just wasn't in our heart at that time. But over the next 6 or 7 years, the Lord really put this in our heart in a fresh way. So when the idea came up, and the opportunity came up, it was like, yeah, I don't mind selling that house. I don't care about that motorcycle anymore. I can still do that same web work right up here. This is going to be an exciting adventure. But if you had asked me about that a few years before then, I would have said, no, I like my life. I'm very happy right here, thank you. So isn't it neat how before the Lord told me what he wanted me to do, he already started building that desire in me. And hopefully each of you, and I've said this before, but some people say, well, if I tell the Lord he can do anything he wants with my life, that he's going to make me go to Africa and live in a hut and serve and be a missionary. But here's what I sincerely believe, and if you talk to missionaries, you'll find the same thing. Before the Lord calls you to be a missionary, he's going to put that so deep in your heart that when you feel that call, it's going to be like, I always wanted to do that, Lord. Whatever it is he calls you to do, whatever it is he speaks to you to do, for the most part, he's going to put that desire in your heart. And isn't that wonderful? Now sometimes, and I'm going to go on to our point number five, sometimes we have to make a decision and we really haven't heard one way or another and we're not quite sure what we're supposed to be doing on that. And so I want to, point number five is sometimes we hear God through our sense of peace, and I'm going to give you a disclaimer on that in a minute, but if we look in the third book of third chapter of Colossians, my notes say a third book of Colossians, in the third chapter of Colossians we have Paul writing to the church in Colossae, which is actually in western Turkey today, and the city was ransacked. It's never been excavated. It's like underground right now. There's nothing left of it. But the letter to the church in Colossians is still very helpful to us. And if we look at Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Okay? God will put his peace in our hearts if we let him. Sometimes, when we don't hear any more specific direction and we just have to do something, it's fine to just move in the direction that we feel the most peaceful about, because the Lord will direct us through putting peace in our hearts. Now, here's my disclaimer for you. I'm going to back paddle. I never back pedal, but I back paddled before. So we can't let not having a sense of peace be an excuse to never grow. And what I want to say about that is, an awful lot of the time, when we feel the Lord moving us in a certain direction, like, I want to help in a soup kitchen. I want to go meet my neighbors so I can just be a light, an uncovered light, a light on a hill. I want to work in the Sunday school. I want to apply for a better job. Sometimes the Lord is moving us in a direction and we don't feel any peace at all, because the reality is where you're going to grow is probably starts outside your comfort zone. Okay? You can have peace and still be afraid. And I don't know about you, but I find that when I know I'm supposed to be doing something, or when I feel pretty sure, but I feel afraid, the best way to stop being afraid is to just go get it over with. And pretty soon, that sense of comfortableness, as you move outside your comfort zone, but you take that territory and you do what the Lord's doing, you will sense the Lord's peace there. Okay? But sometimes we need to make a decision, and we really don't have a clue. And we can just trust the Lord to give us peace and to go in the direction of peace. So that's our fifth way today. Well, I'm convinced that the Lord does speak to us today. If you're new at church, maybe you're not following Jesus yet, maybe you're just beginning to explore these things, here's something that is true. The Lord will speak to you, and it doesn't mean that you're crazy. Okay? It's a good thing. For us who've been following Jesus for a long time and we're learning to recognize his voice, it almost might seem a little obvious to you. But when you come to church for the first time and you praise the Lord and you're singing to the Lord and you pray to the Lord, it all kind of makes sense. But then it's kind of a different thing to say, and the Lord speaks back to me? He does. It's his promise. And you can just count on that and you can ask him for it. And I'm not going to go through all the guidelines again today, but just, if it seems crazy, it's probably not God. Okay? Let me say that again. If it seems crazy, it's not God. Don't do it. If it seems a little weird, give me a call. I was praying today, and the Lord told me, I need to start looking for another job, but I just love my job. Okay? Well, let's pray about that together. I'll pray and see if the Lord shows me anything. You know what I mean? You following me on that? Get some confirmation. Make sure it lines up with the Bible. Make sure it makes sense in your life, unless it's something where the Lord may be jumping you to. And just don't worry about those other voices. You're going to hear other voices. Okay? We hear our own imagination. Once in a while, we'll have an influence of an outside voice that's not God. Just don't do it. It's not going to hurt you. It's so worth it to begin to sense the Lord's presence and go one step further and actually hear His voice. And most of what He's going to say to you is, I like you. I love you. You're pleasing to me. You're a blessing to me. I'm so glad that you are following me. I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing. And then take the time to listen. His voice is still and quiet. Yeah, we're just about done. It's peaceful. Sometimes He'll speak to our spirits, which will then communicate to us through our own inner voice. I am. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, come on. Go ahead.
Just keep talking.
Thanks. Sometimes He'll speak to our spirits, which will communicate to our own spirit, like through our own inner voice. And sometimes He'll communicate through building a desire in our hearts. And then we just need to make a decision. Maybe He'll say, yeah, do it, or don't do it. But maybe He'll just give us a sense of peace, that this is the direction that leads to peace. We can just trust Him for that. If you've never heard the Lord's voice, maybe you need more of the Holy Spirit. If you've never devoted your life and said, with all my heart, Lord, I want you in my life. I just lay my life at your feet. Please cleanse me of my sin. I'll follow you wherever you lead me. This would be a good day to do that. So I welcome you to come up afterwards. If I say that and like your heart starts beating fast, it's like, that, what is that? That might be God saying, come to me. Come to me today. So come up after the service. Talk to Kathleen and let us pray with you. Why don't we pray for a minute, if you would, please. Father, we're just so thankful that you sent Jesus and you sent the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can hear your voice, that we can know you, that we can know the living God, our Daddy, that we can be the bride of Christ, and that we can have the Comforter with us. And we welcome you now. Open our ears, Lord. Speak to us that we can hear. Tune our ears to your soft voice. Put your desires in our heart, Lord. And give us your peace for the direction you'd have us go. We want to do whatever you want us to do, Lord. So we just welcome you to show us. Have your way with us, Lord. We give it to you. We give our lives to you again. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.